Welcome to this week's episode number 5 of The Oral Fix. I'm Henry Diaz.
And I'm Drew Brown.
We are your hosts of Oral Fix, which is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. How are you this week, Drew?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there.
You're just hanging in there?
I'm just hanging in there. I'm kind of recovering from this long-ass trip, road trip, to Rochester with my family.
That sounds like fun.
Well, a bunch of kids and two grown adults, which are practically kids as well.
Well, that's nice.
Family time is always good. What are you doing for this 4th of July?
I am going to be spending it with some friends, and I guess I can't really call him my boyfriend yet, but the guy I'm seeing. And then I'm going to be hanging out with, on the 4th of July, with one of my best friends. They just got back from their honeymoon, who got married in Connecticut earlier this month. So,
Where did they go on their honeymoon?
They went to Spain.
They went to Spain?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. They must have, gone to different places, or did they stay in one place?
They went to different places. They went to Barcelona. They went to Sitges. They also went to Mallorca. So they went to different places, and they had a really good time. So this would be my first time seeing him since the wedding. So we're going to, catch up and spend the holiday together. So that should be fun.
How cute. I'm sort of jealous. And I can't believe you're still talking to what I would like to call Tall Man, which is your ex-person.
Yeah, well, we're still talking. We'll see so far so good. So, we'll see what happens. We might have, hopefully this podcast, we'll announce that we're officially together, or we'll announce that I can't stand him. So it could go either way.
Has he listened to this podcast yet?
Has he listened to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I haven't. Because this way I can kind of, keep it away from him, just so I can speak freely and he doesn't have to know. But, he knows how to find the podcast, and he knows that the podcast exists.
Okay.
But he has not listened to it as of yet.
Did you do anything for Pride? Did you party at all?
I did not. I actually was, I didn't do anything, which was what I intended to do. I don't go out to Pride. I went when I first came out, the first few years, and then that was it. Even though this was kind of historic to actually, be there because of the whole gay marriage bill that passed, but I just couldn't deal with all the people.
Well, I recovered from, the steroids, the prednisone that I was on for that poison ivy this past weekend, and during Pride, we did, this post, Father's Day thing, me and my cousin, my brother. We visited the cemetery, and then I worked on the podcast, and I put it together, and I put it up that Sunday, and it was quite challenging, I have to say. Listening to the podcast, I'm sorry I tortured you and the audience, but I found it really loopy. I was like, wow, I can't believe I got through all of that, and I said to myself, if I did go, because my cousin wanted to go to Pride, and I have another cousin who she's not really out. She also wanted to go to the parade because she goes every year. And I said to myself, if I did this, if I had gone through those, with that plan, I would have been so miserable and unhappy because, one, I was so loopy from the medication, and all those people, I would have just been a hot, bloody mess.
Yes. Yeah, and that's probably the main reason why, I don't know, because it's really hard to maneuver, you can't really move around, there's so many people, and of course, it was, a joyous occasion, with the whole marriage equality happening in New York, and legalized, but I just couldn't do it, so I stayed in Brooklyn.
Well, I'm going to save my story for later. I have a story that I kind of overheard while I was on this road trip coming to see my family. So why don't we move on to our next segment so we can let loose.
Good. So we're going to, this week for Tit for Tat, we're going to do something different. Normally we each say things that, you know, we found during the week and talk about them and discuss them for this section. But this week we decided to do something different since we did not, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we taped our podcast a little earlier last time. So we blogged about the whole gay marriage being legal in New York, but we didn't get a chance to speak about it. And a lot of things have happened since then, so we wanted to kind of spend tit for tat discussing it now. So, Henry, do you want to go? Do you have something? I know you've had a rant about David Tyree and, you know, and at the time when I called him a fixhole, you were like, oh, who is he? So now you seem like you're very familiar with who he is.
Oh, man, I know his face. I mean, I'm not stalkerish where I looked up his address when he was at, but I know his face now, and I see, you know, that this is just like, David Tyree is like David Tyrant, let's say. Supposedly, he joined the National Organization of Marriage of Marriage Equality, I think it's called, the National Organization of Marriage. No, the National Organization of Marriage. And there was a public hearing that took place several days before the bill was passed in New York State. And I caught wind of this in some posts on this blogger, Pam's houseblend.com, and also Holy, which is a pretty cool blog. It's called Holy Bullies and Headless Monsters at blogspot.com. They both blogged about it, and it just seemed that it happened like right after, and it could have happened right after because some things weren't synchronistically correct in terms of information. Anyway, the thing is that this hearing took place, and David Tyree was among several really well-known people that spearhead that organization. And a collective of bishops were there, and they were speaking very firmly and against the bill, and Republicans who had switched their vote from against the bill to for the bill. And they were, you know, they weren't slandering them, but they were definitely bad-mouthing them and saying that, you know, they were that it was wrong what they did, and it was wrong for New York State to pass that bill. You know, originally, when you commented on David Tyree and put him as your fix hole for the week, it was because he publicly announced that if the bill had passed, that he was promising anarchy. And, you know, this is like a couple of weeks difference between that podcast to now. And when this public hearing took place, my blood boiled. I couldn't believe what I saw and heard, that David Tyree was among those people and that now he was counted by them and sort of recruited. But he was also speaking their language. They have like this language also that I'm sure disseminates from their president, Brian S. Brown, who I think he's queer. And they were talking, you know, the public hearing is about 30 minutes long. It's on our blog. And they go on, they're taking like turns one after another in front of the camera, giving their opinion on their stance on the bill and how wrong it is. And, you know, overall, what just comes through clearly is that, you know, they're not so much against the fact that the bill was passed, but in fear that homosexuality would be so accepted among United States citizens that it was incorrect, immoral, and that we, as a community of gay and lesbians, transgender, questioning, two-spirits, what have you, were a threat to them and their livelihood. Now, Drew, I don't know about you, but when was the last time I went out recruiting straight people?
I recruit straight people all the time. It's actually what I do when I'm not doing the podcast.
You know, like, when do we ever... All right, it happens in the straight community, and it also happens in the gay community. People have affairs. But it's not like, you know, those affairs are some type of recruitment legislation or act or movement that's happening. We're not, you know, brainwashing straight people to become gay. It's the other way around. When are they going to leave us the fuck alone? This is not a God-driven country. I don't care those bishops were there, you know, making their statement, but what I do care is that they were on a podium addressing the public and telling the public that they were coming after us. You know, that is totalitarianism when, they all of a sudden become the police, and they're going to make sure that this doesn't go any further. This government is not run, hasn't been written in the Constitution or the Pledge of Allegiance that we are governed by God. Now, if I am wrong, somebody correct me. But as far as I can tell, there's some hidden jealousy that they have somewhere in them that they cannot rest until we, the gay and lesbians, transgenders, questioning, are annihilated. The sickness is gone. I am so appalled. And that, you know, I could have gone off for a real, I mean, I almost did on my post, on the blog, on this all. I mean, it just made me so angry. But then I realized that I was becoming just as angry as they were. And I was losing every sense of who I am and my spirituality and my sexuality that makes me who I am. I was actually giving up my power by becoming angry at these people. So, you know, I kind of leveled down as I am right now because I almost went back into the space. And I guess it's more the motherly part of me coming out, but I said, you know, I'm just going to pray for them. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to let this roll off of me. You know, there hasn't been nothing really that the genocide hasn't really started physically. It started verbally. They've started a movement. But it doesn't mean, you know, that my worst fears are going to come true and they're going to come after us and put pink triangle on us again like Hitler did and put us in cages and start, you know, brainwashing us one by one.
I think that, you know, before the bill passed in New York, you know, there were a bunch of polls, and, you know, it was pretty surprising that a lot of people in New York are, you know, who are for gay marriage. And so I think that was part of the reason why it was a lot easier for this bill to pass, because the people were saying, listen, we believe that this should happen. And there's also what we talked about, you know, also on our blog with Governor Cuomo. His like approval rating is really high now. I believe it's at 64%. And of the people who are for him, they did like a breakdown too. And some of them were Republicans. Like 53% were like a Republican. There were also people who were Catholic, you know, so, I mean, there was a kind of a mixed bag of people. So even though, you know, David Tyree and there are these kind of people who are always going to speak loud and speak out against, you know, our movement and our right for equal rights, you know, there are a lot of people out there who believe, you know, that we deserve and to be equal, you know, and it's our right to be. So, of course, you know, there's always going to be these kind of people who are going to be trying to use their hate to try and influence people. But I do think that now people are starting to get a lot more allies on our side, and a lot of mm-hmm. people who are really, you know, who are kind of joining the cause and are speaking out for us. So it's not just, you know, the gay community, but it's also we have a lot of straight allies as well, who kind of joined the fight, which has been great. So that's a great thing. The only thing is that now, you know, in New York, you know, we have, you know, where finally marriage is legal, you know, in California, they're having a bit of a problem because the judge who overruled, you know, who had his ruling to overturn Prop 8, they're now trying, the main supporters behind Prop 8 are now trying to overturn his ruling because the judge never admitted that he was in a same-sex relationship. And so, and it's like, you know, one doesn't have to do with the other, of course. I mean, yes, of course, what he said was right. It is unconstitutional. He didn't have to disclose what he was doing. That had nothing to do with anything, you know. So they're trying to state that, they're trying to use that as their argument and try to make to overturn his ruling. And so far they've been defeated, but they're really trying really hard. So we don't know if that's going to happen, and that's something that we also need to watch very closely. You know, it's unfortunate, but, I mean, I didn't even know the judge was gay, I mean, until I was doing some, you know, research. But it's also, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, too, it's like, of course, you know, I'm sure, you know, he has to, I mean, as a judge, you have to kind of put your personal politics to the side and just kind of judge each case by, you know, for what they are. And I'm sure that's, you know, of course, there's going to be some feelings or some things about it, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, it was unconstitutional. Prop 8 was, you know, we deserve the right to be married, and so I'm hoping that they don't win. I mean, so far they are, you know, they're really trying really hard.
Well, now it's going to be brought up to the Supreme Court, is that it?
I'm not sure. They tried to, they brought it back to court to try to, I guess, like an appeal, to appeal his decision, but they got shot down. So now they're really trying to, their argument is that, they're really trying to put forth the argument that since he did not disclose his relationship, that's why it should be overturned. That his ruling should not matter. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, this is going to be an ongoing battle. I don't think that there's going to be ever same-sex marriage in every state. I mean, that would be great, but I don't know. I think that and like places in the South and other places, I think it would be a bigger fight for same-sex marriage to pass. I'm just happy that it happened in New York.
Yeah, I mean, now that it's happened in New York, it's going to make other states, and I think that's another fear of a lot of these contingencies, like the National Organization of Marriage, that it's putting them on the defensive also, is that, you know, New York is the capital of the world, and then second is, I believe, San Francisco, and then Los Angeles. I might be wrong on that, but these are major cities, and, you know, we're also an international city, New York City, and, you know, I guess, I don't know about the rest of the state, but still, I mean, everyone follows us, you know, most of the times. We do something, we start a trend here, most trends start here, and they just seep out through either the rest of the country or the rest of the world, and people kind of model themselves after us. And I'm not trying to be, you know, conceited here or egotistical, but it's the truth. And so their fear that, you know, everyone might start doing the same thing we did. Well, since New York did it, why can't we do it? It's going to make us look bad if we don't. And, you know, it's true. It is going to make you look bad. Especially you, California. Come on. I mean,
it is, yeah.
This is the other thing that really frustrates me. We are in supposedly an economic depression. Hello, legalize civil unions or gay marriages, and you really would have, you'll start, you know, increasing. I mean, this is one of the things in New York State what swayed a lot of the, I guess, other senators, especially Republicans, to vote for this bill, is that New York State will bring in at least $402 million worth of taxes if they did legalize marriage equality.
Yeah.
Imagine what it would do for the rest of the state and the world. I mean, the one thing that I would be concerned about civil unions and gay marriages if I was a politician was that people who are not gay or who are not lesbians who want to cheat the system will try to marry themselves or make up fake documents to get themselves, you know, cheaper taxes. I mean, that's, and straight people do that already. So, I don't know, maybe that's like a no-win argument there, but if there were to be any fears, I think that's one to throw out there for these straight, I'm sorry, bastards, who want to encroach on our territory, which little there is for us, and bring us down, and brainwash us, and do exorcisms, and do, I mean, this is, I mean, look at you, look at Uganda. Forget Uganda is polluted by these right-wing Christians who poison their lifestyles and way of being, and who told them to go off on witch hunts and taught them that being gay is evil. They're killing people left and right over there, lesbians and gays, for who they are. And this is like, also, Uganda, it's, traditionally, they're traditional. You know, if you want to talk about culture and being polluted by colonization and Christians, they are very accepting of gay, of homosexuals before they picked up the, you know, Christianity and Protestantism. I think the Protestants are there also. I might be wrong. Anyway, let me stop.
Well, yeah, I think the other thing too, you know, which is, you know, with all the stuff that's been going on, you know, with this, you know, celebration of, you know, gay marriage here in New York, and then, you know, stuff with Prop 8, and then, you know, I mean, I wanted to, you know, it would be nice to have the president, you know, to be able to actually kind of man up and actually speak up, you know, and he, and I understand he wants to get reelected, and I understand that, you know, he has, you know, people are going to try and use anything and everything to get him out of office. So, but it's just, you know, he's constantly, you know, dodging the question, you know, saying that, you know, he thinks that every state should, you know, make their own decision, but he never comes out and say that he's for or against it, and they're making it seem like he's against gay marriage. But I just don't, in my heart of heart, I think that he's just talking out and just saying, I'm against it just so he can satisfy the crazy Christian right, who are going to vote against him anyway. We're not going to vote Obama anyway, but he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to store up any more controversy, so he's not going to say, oh, okay, yes, no, this is, I am for gay marriage, which is really upsetting.
Well, you know, the whole thing with me and Obama on that one is that, you know, he started off his campaign, and I read his bio on all of them, especially Palin, when he was running up for election, he did not believe in gay marriage. He did not believe in the gays or the gay, you know, the gay movement. He didn't want to hear anything about it until he was almost done his race and he needed more votes. And then they started packing the guns and they started just like, oh, we love you gay people. Oh, yes, we'll do. We'll promise this and we'll promise that. And I saw it. Empty promises. You know, the only thing that good came, I said it before, I'm saying it again, it came off out of his campaign for all that he promised to show support. It was to the It Gets Better video sponsored by our government our federal government and hosting, you know, a site and a link, a .gov that gets better .gov.
Well, no, he's done several things too, and also it's like, you know, he also was leading the fight to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell and all that stuff. And so now it's just to say like, oh, okay, so there are all things that you want to do and blah blah blah, but then when it comes to gay marriage, oh no, I don't want to touch that.
Really? You think he really did something with it, with trying to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell? I thought that was all show and bullshit.
No, I mean, that was the thing that he said that he was going to do, and that was a promise that he made in his campaign, and he stood by. But I'm kind of confused that, you know, he can go from one extreme to another to be like, oh, yeah, you know, we want to repeal, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but we don't want to give you the right to... we don't want to give you equal rights. We don't want you to have the right to be married. And it's like, just man up and just say, you know, say what you feel. I mean, you know, because the people who like you. The people who don't like you, don't like you. So, you're not going to win them over by saying, oh, I'm for gay marriage. The people who don't like you don't even think that you were born in this country, or they don't even think that you're a Muslim. So, you know, those are not going to be, you add on gay marriage, it's not going to be like, oh, you know, that's in their mind. Like, oh, well, he crossed the line now because he's for gay marriage. No. Like, they're not going to like, they don't like you already. So the fact that he's not standing up and really having to giving an honest answer on if he's for it or he's against it or just kind of, you know, lending the gay community his support is kind of upsetting.
Well, I have a really funny story, and then we're going to have to close up. On my way over here to visit my family, we were at a McDonald's, me and my cousin and his family, and this is the cousin I was talking about last, I think it was last week, where they were, you know, him and his mother, my aunt, were waiting for me to come out, and they were so, like, waiting for me to, like, be out because they were really excited to have a gay family member. And by the way, he thinks he's responsible for me coming out, which is the opposite.
He thinks that what? He thinks I'm responsible?
He thinks I'm responsible. My cousin thinks that he's responsible for me coming out.
Okay.
Meanwhile, he teased me so much about being gay growing up that it drove me further into the closet. Anyway, so long story short, we were at this McDonald's, and some guys we heard in the next table were talking about gay marriage. And one was teasing the other one about being gay, and you know, it was about the whole, you know, bill being passed, the whole, you know, gay rights movement and the equality bill, marriage bill. And they were teasing the guy because I guess these guys had a supervisor that was Arab, and it seemed like this supervisor was very effeminate and was fixing the other friend's collar all the time at work. So they were, you know, making fun at the fact that this guy and his supervisor were having something in common, and they were like saying, like, you know, be careful, you know, our supervisor is probably trying to get you to marry him. You know how those Middle Eastern men are, they're so repressed. And they went into, like, the territories of terrorism. And they said, you know, that's why there's terrorism, especially coming from that country, because they're all repressed. And they're angry and that they can't be as gay as the men here in our country. And I was like, oh, shit. I can't believe we're hearing this. Me and my cousin were like, oh. And at a McDonald's, a family, you know, restaurant. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, after watching Eyes Wide Open about the Hasidics in Israel, you know, being so repressed that being gay.
Don't give me a Hasidic man, because I like all people, and I don't want to, you know, whatever, but they Hasidic men are really dirty. Like, they're dirty, dirty men.
I grew up around the Hasidics, and my mother was friends with them. I even had a Hasidic babysitter in the family, so, and part of my mother's family is Sephardic too. But still, I have found them to be very, you know, beautiful people. And there are some, like, in any society that are not nice. But the ones that we've known were very nice, very accepting.
They could be nice, but I think
beautiful. The women and the men are beautiful, even though they're, you know, like, beard, some of the clean-shaven ones are even beautiful, are handsome also, if you ever...
I guess at the few run-ins that I've had with them, they're kinky. They're kinky men.
Oh my god. Anyway, we're supposed to be going on to our next segment. let's cut it there.
We'll move on, but that's that. I guess we're getting off topic, but
all right, so you want to lead us out?
Okay, so we're gonna leave you with some music, and then we're gonna come back and talk about our next topic. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit clamped right now. So enjoy some music, and we'll be right back.
Everything You Wanted, the Rack Remix. Now we're going to go on to our latest segment, which we haven't touched, we haven't visited in a while. It's called Anthrophagology. That's where we highlight people, places, and things in our community that are making historical markers, things, you know, history and our gay and lesbian community, or where we do some comparative highlighting of historical figures, facts, or things. So this week, what we have on the table is gay and lesbian transgender music artists. And we're going to sort of do a comparative talk. Yesterday's within the last few centuries, or decades, I should say, of gay and lesbian artists, music artists, and where we're at today, and who's, you know, moving and shaking the scenes. So, I don't know, should we do rock, paper, scissors here, Drew?
Well, I
love my music.
I love my music too, and I guess the bigger question is, you know, not only, you know, I mean, there are a lot of gay artists out there, but, you know, I mean, I just remember, you know, growing up in the 80s, and there was, you know, people like Boy George, and you know, I think, you know, during the 80s, I think Elton John, that's when Elton John finally admitted that he was gay. And also seeing people like Pete Burns from Dead or Alive and stuff like that. Like, there was this kind of, and these were, you know, people who were accepted by not just within the gay community, but kind of mainstream. They had, you know, number one hit. They sold millions and millions of records. There were straight and gay people going to see them in concerts. Are we due for a kind of gay pop or even rock or superstar? You know, I think we're due. Like, we don't really have one, and we haven't really had one for a while. I mean, I guess the, you know, the music industry has changed a lot, but, you know, we don't really have a kind of mainstream gay pop icon to look up to.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there was, you know, Adam Lambert, who, you know, who won American Idol, who is out and gay, and, you know, he's kind of crossed over. He has, you know, some, you know, I mean, he has gay fans and probably has, you know, straight fans as well. And he's had some, you know, hit songs, but, you know, will he have a long-lasting career as some of those, you know, new people that I mentioned? I'm not sure, you know.
So it's kind of
interesting that, you know, of course, you know, especially with the fact that, you know, people, you know, we have, like, marriage and all this stuff, but, like, are people, you know, is, like, being gay, is it a, being an out gay musician, does that kill your career?
Well, obviously it didn't for David Bowie. I mean, David Bowie's not, you know, when he was on the scene, he was, I don't think that I know of, admittedly out, but people did wonder.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did a lot of drag, like, you know, super rock star drag and glamour. And I don't know who was his predecessor before that. I don't think there was somebody like him. Though people like the Monkees and the Beatles, you know, kind of like slanted on, you know, some gay, you know, they probably had like gay consultants and fashion designers on their sets. But, you know, they did drag every now and then. And it was accepted because it was just all fun in the making. But David Bowie, I at least, you know, sticking out in my head, and audience, you can tell we didn't really research this as we do in all our shows. We just attempt to do social commentary here and from what we grew up with and our experiences. David Bowie was definitely an influence on culture. Straight culture, and, you know, a view.
But he's not gay.
No, he's bisexual.
He's bisexual, but is he out as a bisexual? Like, was he out as a bisexual?
Well, he's out as a bisexual now, but, you know, and you know that we have this. You know, we've been referring also to After Elton, the blog. There's a link that we'll post on our show notes. But they listed the top 50, highlighted the top 50 gay music artists. And I have to say that I didn't find David Bowie among them. I don't know whether or not, because he's not really gay, maybe he's bisexual. That was really weird.
Yeah.
out of the top 50 was Elton John. He was number one. Then Freddie Mercury, which he had more gay relationships than bisexual ones, but he was a bisexual also. And then coming in number three, they had Michael Stipe, and then the Village People. And nowhere among the top 10 was David Bowie. So I'm kind of like I'm kind of lost there. Why they made that selection, and what was their judgment on that? David Bowie is bisexual. I know he is. I mean, I know a lot of people in the industry, and that's how I learned about it. Huh?
Did you sleep with him?
Did I sleep with him? No. He was in one of my star fuckers, sleep fingers, and the bitters. So I don't know. David Bowie is, you know, he's, you know, so let's talk about that. Let's start off there. You know, the people who really influence, I mean, not only our society, but, you know, society at large. In my eyes, I like Freddie Mercury, but I wanted to be like David Bowie to a certain extent. He was, a positive role model in the, not that I wanted to be bisexual, but and as being a music artist, as being a singer, and as being just, you know, unique artist myself. And there's nobody like him now, except for maybe Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga is supposedly bisexual. I don't want to be like Lady Gaga, but, you know,
yeah,
she's...
I mean, like, growing up, I didn't want to be like Boy George either, or I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to be like Pete Burns, but it was great that, you know, that there were people like them in our community that were accepted. Like, there are people who, you know, you put on a song, by the Culture Club, and they're singing the song, and they're songs that are kind of like the test of time. And we don't really have, there's no one recently, like we have, you would think that we would have more gay artists out there who are openly gay, who are, you know, I mean, I guess for the women's side, you know, we have Katie Lang, and we have, you know, Melissa Etheridge, who, you know, Melissa Etheridge is, you know, pretty, she's crossed over, I guess, and she's pretty popular, but as far as, you know, we don't really have a lot of them. A lot of the, you know, the people who are kind of gay artists are more kind of in the underground. You kind of see them, you know, they could be, they're not as popular as, let's say, Lady Gaga. And of course, you know, a lot of, you know, but, which is also the other question, is, especially since the gay community are the ones, like, the gay dollar, we're the ones who are making all of these people super famous and super rich. Like, we get behind Lady Gaga, we get behind, you know, the diva, like, different divas, but, you know, do we support, you know, are we supporting other gay artists that put out good music, you know? I mean, the SZA sisters had a moment when they were really popular, you know, they were kind of, you know, getting there, but I think they kind of fell off a little bit, at least here. They're not really popular in Europe, but they're not as popular here anymore.
Yeah, same thing with Tegan and Sarah. Like, when Tegan and Sarah was on the scene, I was like, wow, something different, and they're lesbians, and they're sisters? I was like, whoa, you know, and so fresh and young and just different, you know, and they had a large following. It didn't matter if it was gay or not. And they were from Canada, and they kind of like, you know, they made the money or whatever, and they didn't want, I guess, be in the limelight too much. So they didn't hog it up too much, it seems. But they didn't become like mainstream. And I guess that's where you're heading to, you know, like supporting people who are not mainstream artists.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that, you know, will we ever have a, you know, I mean, a gay pop superstar or gay, you know, superstar that's kind of, you know, crossing all who's crossing all boundaries, you know, who's being, you know, being able to be out there and be gay and be openly gay and to do that and to be, and to sell millions of records. And that's, I mean, there's a lot of talented people out there who are doing great things, but, you know, before, you know, I mean, I guess growing up, you know, when Boy George was out there and, you know, there's other people, there were many of them. Like, people, I mean, Elton John still can sell out, you know, arenas, and people still, gay or straight, still go see him. We don't really have someone like that anymore.
No, we don't. I mean, if anything, maybe, I don't know, I feel like Caswell is on the rise. He's kind of like, you know, something's going to be...
He's more like a gay Eminem.
I don't know. I think he's like the gay Fresh Prince from Bel Air.
Okay. You know, I mean, he kind of, you know, like, you know, funny stories and that kind of stuff, but he doesn't really, I mean, I don't see him like, I don't see him selling out Madison Square Garden.
How about that guy Mika? I mean, it seemed like he was going to be kind of like promising. And Rufus Wainwright also, like...
No, Rufus does his thing, you know, and same thing with Mika. Like, Mika, you know, he had that one song that was kind of, like, really popular, and then he kind of, you know, went away. But there's no, like, one, I mean, there's no, like, gay pop superstar. You know, Ricky Martin, you know, when he came out, it was like big news, and he tried to come out with a song, but the song wasn't really that great. And
oh my God, so, Ricky Martin.
So, you know, and I don't think that, you know, I think he probably made enough money, and he'll probably just do some, like, you know, Spanish albums or something like that, and make tons of money.
I kind of think he's going to be the next Colton Ford. Like, you know, he's just going to become a bashout.
Colton Ford is like, that's like, I've ever chewed glass to listen to Colton Ford.
I mean, the thing about gay artists is that, you know, besides bringing style and hitting and making trends, the music is fun. It's either, you know, it pulls us at our heartstrings or it inspires us. And that's what these past music artists have done, like Jimmy Somerville and I'm sorry to put up there another bisexual one, Prince, who's, I don't think really came out as a bisexual, did he?
No, he never came out as bisexual. Jimmy Somerville, like, yeah, but I can still listen to those, like, songs by Jimmy Somerville now and still be like, wow, those are good songs. But, you know...
They're timeless.
No, they're timeless, that's what I'm saying. We don't really have, you know, nowadays, like, the, you know, I don't know if because the way the music industry is changing or whatever, but we don't really have a lot of people who have enough life expectancy they'll have a song or two and then they disappear and then you never hear from them again. You know, like, oh, they're just not as popular anymore.
You know who's somebody who's kind of like creeping up and just coming out of the woodwork sort of, and more of the underground scene. I don't know, I tend to listen to all types of music, but my favorites are, you know, underground, synthesizer, really talented voice, experimentals, Sigur Rós. I really got into them a couple of years ago, and the lead singer, Jonsi, him and his lover have put out some albums, and then all of a sudden he put out his own album and started doing concerts on his own and sold out every freaking concert everywhere around the globe. And, you know, I think you know him. I know you don't really follow his music, but every time I go on his website or, you know, his stuff is like on ads now, American ads. Who knows, on European ads also. I mean, it's really quite contagious and catchy. I mean, by the next album he puts out, which I hope he puts out another album, maybe, he might be it, you know, setting a new status or level for gay and lesbian music artists. You know, he's not American, but he's, you know, even whatever language he sings in, like his home language, he's like, you know, the female version of Bjork almost, and his voice is captivating. Do you think he might be?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, he, you know, I think for people who are in the know, but not, like, he won't have a number one song on the Billboard chart.
Mm.
You know? And
right, that's what we're looking for, huh?
There's so many good artists, there are a lot of great artists out there, but then they don't get the play as what else is out there, you know, and so a lot of, you know, gay people, we support other artists, like mainstream artists, but I don't know, I mean, you know, are we supporting, you know, people out there like Jonesy or people like Micah or, you know, are we...
And how about that guy, Kelly or that guy that sang with Bjork?
I mean, Kelly's album, I mean, I listened to it, and it is, you know, one of the best albums that I heard, you know, last year. It was one of my favorite albums. I listened to it, you know, from start to finish, and it's great. But I don't, you know, I won't hear a song by him on the radio.
Would you consider RuPaul among those? I mean, this After Elton list has RuPaul as number 16. And
RuPaul did his thing. I mean, if you put him on the list of, like, you know, Boy George and Pete Burns and RuPaul, I mean, RuPaul had a number one song, and it was played by, you know, he was accepted by not just by the gay community, but by the community, by everyone. So, yeah, I mean, he did his thing. But there hasn't been, you know, we haven't had an artist like that to be like that kind of make a crossover, you know. And I don't know if these artists want to do that or if they are, you know, especially now we do have, you know, our own gay network logo. So, I mean, we can definitely see videos by gay artists and that kind of stuff. But we don't really have... the same, like, they're not played on, you know, Z100, which is a popular radio station here in New York, or, you know, this kind of mainstream radio. You don't hear songs by them.
Well, let's look at this. Let's look at that. What makes these people, or what have made some of these past music artists sensational and monarchs in music? Have some of these people, like Elton John, David Bowie, Freddie Mercury, Michael Stipe. I mean, some of these people were like really hidden wonder secrets, and then they came out. I mean, did that make them more popular as gay music artists besides their music? I mean, their music, even Andy Bell. I mean, I think Andy Bell from Erasure was always out, but besides
blind person could tell that Andy Bell was gay.
I grew up without music videos. You may have been more exposed to it than I did, but all the music videos that I saw were like on regular basic free channels, and I never watched a sliver of MTV until, you know, I came out and I started dating, and the guys that dated had cable, so I wasn't exposed to that. I wasn't exposed to it until I met you and Kim. You guys had cable. I wasn't exposed. You were exposed to music videos, and you saw who, you know, what they looked like, what kind of, you know, music they did. And I think on Friday nights they had these music video countdowns in Channel 4, and that was my only glimpse into like certain videos and certain artists. Milli Vanilli, even though they weren't out or were not gay or whatever, they were certainly gay to me. And Boy George, the obvious.
Yeah, but the music, I mean, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you can listen to, again, I mean, their music is, I mean, Boy George's, you know, his music is going to, you know, stand the test of time and always their classics, you know. it's just sad that, you know, well, not really sad. I mean, there are good people making good music out there. Like, you know.
Well, what makes them good? What do you look for to an artist to say, oh, this person's going to be legendary? Or, you know, I love this person, and how do you determine the next?
Their music has to be good, and they also have to have the kind of, you know, the personality to be a superstar, you know, to kind of do that, or to also to be able to kind of, well, you're curious about them. You're curious to want to know, like, more about these artists. Like, I don't think they are, you know, people were, you know, you saw Boy George and you were curious about him. He had a stage presence. He had, you know, these crazy outfits that he was wearing. Like, they were, you know, and that was that kind of, he was ahead of his time, you know, for someone to be in drag singing, you know, before that. I mean, that was kind of unheard of. I remember, like, seeing, you know, Karma Chameleon, the video, and I was just like, what is this? But I like the song. I don't know what the hell is a Karma Chameleon, but, you know, I like the song, and I was, you know, and it was a huge hit for them. So, and then they had so many other hits, you know, to kind of, and to win people over. So, I don't really know what happened.
Go ahead.
So, I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know if there is a, you know, hopefully we'll have one, you know, if possible.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll have one and several. I mean, this is going to look really kind of bleak here that we're not getting, you know, are we not having any superstar sensationals because most of them are superstars and they're kind of like hidden and not many people know about them. I mean, we had Boy George also, and supposedly he was bisexual at one point, and then we learned about his escapades that made him more out as being a gay man. And
we had George Michael too. I mean, George Michael is, you know.
Did I say George Michael?
No, you said Boy George.
Oh, okay, George. I meant George Michael. Okay, so you picked up on my visual, but I said it incorrectly. Yeah, but George Michael, we came out bisexual, and all of a sudden, you know, he gets caught with men all here and left and right, and he confesses, yes, I'm gay. At least that's what I recall in my head. I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, but I do think that, like, people, you know, I think that, you know, people, after a while, people didn't really care about, you know, same thing when, you know, I remember, like, I was a little kid when Elton John came out of the closet, and I really didn't know who he was, but it was kind of like a big deal. I remember it being on the news, and I think the same thing with Joseph Michael. Like, people knew he was gay, and they didn't really care because he was putting out great music, and so his music spoke for itself.
Right.
And so we don't really have, although we do have great artists who are openly gay, and I think that their music is good, but what I think is good is not the mainstream is going to think it's good. And so I don't know if, you know, I mean, I guess it's kind of good that, you know, I guess it could be a good thing too, because sometimes, you know, this is why I don't listen to the radio, because I get really tired of, all they do is play the same 10 songs over and over again. So it could be a good thing that we don't have a gay, you know, pop star that I guess I would be, like, annoyed by. So I kind of feel like I have, you know, I usually get shocked when I go to a concert and I'm like, oh, wow, a lot of people really like them. I wouldn't have thought that, you know. So I don't really know anyone that knows them until I would go see them live, or someone, you know, I'll be talking to someone and then we'll be talking about them. Maybe that's a good thing, as opposed to having a gay superstar, gay pop superstar. But it would be nice. I would think that, you know, we should have one.
Yeah, you know, it's like every genre of music also has its own, you know, gay superstar of some sort, or sensational being. And from what I'm hearing, and these are some of my final thoughts on this, is that, because we do have to wrap this up, it seems like, you know, these new icons, superstars for our era, which we, I think we named several of them, I mean, at least for myself, they all have some element of creating an environment, a world, or to help us create a world that is very inspirational, something, you know, out of this world, something that, and that still, you know, ties us into this world, and just kind of speaks to us, and our vision of, I have to bring it back to the spiritual, there is this element of spirituality where it speaks our spirit, you know, our spirit sings with these people, and we want to sing, or we want to be like these people, or these people, you know, we want to follow them, and they do become leaders, you know, of some sort, and spokespeople, and they become, and it's funny, and it's great when they become spokespeople for people outside of our community, you know, they can inspire others as well, not to come out, but to at least be themselves, and to live life and see life in a different way, or bring us to tears, like crying.
I guess, you know, it's just, I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, as a gay community, sometimes, you know, we don't, we have to also realize that, you know, the money that we spend says a lot, and people want the gay dollar, and they want us to spend money on different products or different artists or different stuff like that. And we make people famous, but yet we haven't been able to make someone within our own community who is out. We haven't been able to produce or support, you know.
Yeah,
who are doing really great music, who are doing great stuff. Like,
yes.
You know, they're great people like, you know, The Gossip, who, you know, Beth Ditto, and, you know, she's out lesbian, and, you know, the members of the band are gay, and they're doing great stuff. There are, you know, the Sia, who is a lesbian and does great stuff. Like, there's a lot of people out there who are doing great stuff. And they get a lot of critical acclaim. They get a lot of, you know, write-ups in Rolling Stone and, you know, Spin Magazine and that kind of stuff, and they'll have great, critics will love them. But, you know, the gay community as a whole, we don't really spend our, you know, are we getting behind them and saying, we're going to have a gay superstar, we're going to put our money behind them, because we do it for Lady Gaga, we do it for Kylie Minogue, we do it for Madonna.
Oh, my God.
We do it for all of these other people, but are we doing it for people within our own community who are, you know, making it, who are giving a voice to us, and then, like you were saying earlier, allowing us to know that we can do anything, that, you know, who are kind of singing songs that we can identify with, you know, and who are, you know, kind of allowing, making us see that, okay, you know, you know, they could do it, I can do it, you know, and can inspire to, you know, pick up a guitar or pick up, you know, a or drum, you know. So, you know, I think it's one of the things that we need to be able to do. I think a lot of the people on that list of Daft Belton, some people I recognize, some people I really don't. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I think we need to think about, like, are we really putting our support behind these artists.
Amen to that. So, with that, I want to end this so we can go on and move on. I want to remind everyone that most of these people, the music artists that we feature on our blog and on these podcasts, are mostly gay and lesbian identified. And if not, you know, they're friendly to the gay community. That also, you know, if you ever see on a blog post, you know, free music fix, it means that you can download the music. We're going to leave you off with some music now, and please refer to either the things and people we spoke about in our show notes, or the music that we played, and there's links there that you could click on and download these music that we feature on the podcast So we're going to wrap this up, and for Anthrophagiology, thank you for listening, and we'll see you after the break.
That was Scion, and that was Tegit Chick. We're now going to go into our next segment, which is Back Into the Closet. And as you know, this is where we throw something, a person, place, or thing, or it could be a saying, or whatever we feel that needs to go back into the closet. That we're just kind of tired of. That's within our community that we just feel need to go back into the closet. And so this week, I'll start, and this is something that I don't like it when gay people do it. I don't like it when straight people do it. I don't like it when anyone does this. And so I think it should go back in the closet. And this is couples who purposely dress the same.
Oh no!
You need to go back into the closet. Like, you don't go wearing matching outfits or the same color scheme. It's like, I understand if you want to like compliment each other a little bit, like, you know, or something. But like wearing like almost like similar identical outfits is just kind of it's a little nauseating. It's just like, okay. So that's my thing. I think, you know, because I think sometimes, well, at least for me, you know, when you're in a relationship and, you know, it becomes, you know, we're going to do this, what we're going to do that, you start to sound the same, sometimes you even start to look the same, and then you start dressing the same. It's like, no, where's my, like, you know, I have to kind of, you know, I have to have my own individuality, and how I do that is how I dress. And so I don't want a partner that looks and sounds and dresses exactly like me. If I did, I would just masturbate. I wouldn't need a partner. Like, I could just love myself. So, you know, I want a partner who has their own style, who has their own, you know, their own thing going. You know, and of course, there might be times when we, you know, and this is select items, you know, you might wear each other's clothes or something like that, but to wear like a full ensemble that is like almost like the same outfit, no. You got to go back into the closet and change. I am very fortunate that my the guy I'm seeing now, he has a size 13 shoe, so he cannot borrow any of my shoes. And he is 6 feet, he's 6'5", so he's really tall. So I can't fit into any of his clothes, and he certainly can't fit into any of my clothes. So I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't have to worry about that. So...
Oh, I don't know. I think you're being a prude here. I mean, I think that's cute.
I don't like it when straight people do it too. I see straight people, they wear the same exact outfit, and I just really? that's not cute. It's just not cute at all. They think they fly. Like, they're like, oh, look at me. I want my boo, and we looking cute because we got the same outfit on. Like, no, that's not cute. That's not cute. Go back into the closet, and if you change, then maybe we'll let you out. But no.
I don't know. I think I'm going to throw you back into the closet. I agree. All right. I have to agree to some degree that, you know, you're wearing matching tops and you're doing it occasionally, that's cute. You know, if you're going to a masquerade party and you want to do Raggedy Ann and Andy or Raggedy Ann and Aaron.
If you're doing it as a costume, then that doesn't count. If you're go out like on the night on the town, like to go to the movies, and you're wearing the same T-shirt with like denim jeans and like same shoe and different colors, you know, matching. Like no, that I think is a little tacky. And this is my opinion. I think that you go back in the closet and change.
I feel sorry for your boyfriend.
I think that you can compliment each other. Like when you see a couple, like when I see couples that look good together and they compliment each other, it's not because they're wearing the same exact thing, but they could have coordinated their outfits in a certain way, or you know, maybe the same colors or whatever, but wearing different things, or they just look like a great couple, but they don't have to. I don't feel like you have to match. Like, I feel like people feel like they have to match identical to, like, compliment each other. And I'm like, no, it's not fun.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to say I agree to disagree. No, agree to agree. I'm gonna agree with you again this week on this. And I'm not really resisting on this because I grew up with a mother who dressed me and my brother like, and that was torturous, but growing up later on, I kind of regret it that, you know, I hated my brother because of it, and it wasn't my brother's fault, it was really my mother's fault. There is, to some certain degree, some type of, you know, unique bond that creates between men or straight couple, whatever you're dressing in like all the time, but it does become a little too cute, irritating, like... don't you have your own individuality? I know that.
I think that you can compliment each other in other ways. I don't think you have to wear the same exact outfit. Like, it doesn't, no. Like, of course, like, if he's wearing shorts and sneakers, you shouldn't be wearing a three-piece suit. Of course, you want to... You can match each other in terms of the style of dress, but you don't have to match each other outfit, like, piece by piece. There's a difference.
All right, well, we throw that back into the closet and throw away like a
tea. If you do that, I'm sorry, you're going back into the closet and...
Girl, you know. Get yourself some individuality.
So yeah, you know, it's not cute, and I want to know how many of those couples actually stay together. That should be another poll.
We should do that poll. You know, do gay relationships only last for a few seconds because they start dressing alike? A. B. Yeah. Is it because there's too much sex? Or C. Too much assumption?
I don't know, but yeah. So that's my back in their closet for the week. Do you have one, Henry?
To tell you the truth, I was thinking about what I should throw back into the closet this week because, you know, a girl does have to recycle her closet goods, But I couldn't think of anything except, you know, one thing that really irritates me, and I don't know if this is a topic or not, or something to throw back into the closet, but I don't like being the token gay person anywhere, like, because there's a stereotype that we're supposed to entertain the group, like, we're the entertainers, like, we're the fools, we're the jesters of the group all of a sudden. And I've grown up with that ever since I came out of the closet. So to speak,
so,
and
you want to throw gay people who entertain back into the closet?
Well, the stereotype, you know, that we're entertainers.
Oh, the stereotype. Oh, okay. So not
you know,
but that's the assumption that we are entertaining.
Yeah, because we're not there to entertain people, you know, especially straight people who don't know right from wrong.
I do think that there is this kind of, I mean, I do think that, you know, I mean, I don't know, I do think that I don't know if I would want to put it, because I do think that we kind of come with that energy of, you know, that's why, you know, straight women love hanging out with gay men and going out to gay bars, because we know how to have a good time, and, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, guys hitting on them, and it can just be themselves, and then we play good music, and, you know, there is this kind of...
It's just something that comes with the territory, and we're just... That's not our role. Like, it's like what you were throwing back into the closet, you know? Like, people who dress alike and don't have their own individuality. You know, just because you're my fag hag now doesn't mean that, you know, I'm supposed to wipe up all your tears and make you, you know, left with hurts all the time. You're going to have to do some of this work, bitch. I'm not going to do it for you. Get some backbone here.
Yes. But, yes, I mean, I understand. There is that assumption that...
I think it's very detrimental. I know, like, you know, when I was working at, and I'm not ashamed to say this, because a lot of star celebrities have done this, including Madonna, they've worked at Dunkin' Donuts. When I worked at Dunkin' Donuts, they were like, oh, you're gay? It kind of, like, you know, came out because I was, like, eyeing people, and people were interested, also knowing. And I was like, yeah, and I don't hold it back. I mean, not that I think everybody should know, but I'm out. And once they knew that I was gay, they was like, oh, do you like this? Do you like that? Oh, they're waiting for me to crack jokes and be funny. And I wasn't like that. And I became, like, the prude of the group. And of the hour. And, you know, if you get to know me, you get to know that side. But I'm not like, you know, a coffee instant maker, like, on, you know, here's your coffee, be happy. No. You know?
Okay.
Which show team would you like me to pay? I'm not a jukebox.
Yes. Well, yes. I mean, and also, you know, I guess there is a thing, too, that there, you know, to also just, to think that, you know, I mean, I guess I kind of get it. I mean, I kind of get it that, you know, that we do also, you know, not just about, there is some substance behind us, too. We're not just here to entertain people. I do get that. But it's also a quality that, you know, I think that we should also not be, you know, it doesn't really bother me
too
much. But I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
I'm throwing that back into the closet. Forget about me not, like, kind of, like, beating around the bush on that. That's going back into the closet. That is, ladies and gentlemen, that is such stereotype that cannot be perpetrated anymore, any longer, and it's not tolerated here. It's going back into
all you straight, if we have any straight listeners, do not expect Henry to entertain you in any way. Or crack a joke, or whatever.
On demand. This is not Henry on demand, okay?
He is going to sit there and be a Debbie Downer until he feels like saying something, and then maybe you might get a joke. Because, or you'll get one of his crazy analogies, like, I'm not a coffee maker, instant coffee, turn me on things. So... Okay.
Yeah, you agree to disagree. I hear you. Okay.
No, I get it. I you had some points there that were. I get it. You know, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the end of this section. We need to move on. We need to close this up. And I'm going to take it away unless you have something else to say about...
I do not.
About my item. Okay. Okay. So, folks, we're going to end this. We're going to end this with our goodbyes. And as usual, we like to let you know that this podcast is posted, delivered, featured on our Blogspot, oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. And is also found on our fan page, facebook.com/TheOralFix Podcast, on iTunes as The Oral Fix Podcast, or you could search us by Henry Diaz or Drew Brown. You can follow us on Twitter. Look us up as The Oral Fix Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, feedbacks for us, don't be shy. Please give us a call at 646-504-3491. That's 646-504-3491. Or email us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. So we're going to leave you off with some music, and we're going to wish you a good week. Happy 4th of July, a safe one. And Drew, before I introduce the music, do you have any goodbyes?
No, have a great and safe 4th of July, and hopefully, you know, you're not all partied out after all the Pride celebrations that are happening, so hopefully you have a nice long weekend to enjoy yourself and party some more, so get drunk and be happy and...
I'm sure a lot of New York City people are going to flock over to Fire Island for 4th of July. So
yeah,
all you Fire Islanders,
they will.
All right, so ending with music by Sia, Clap Your Hands, the Diplo remix. Have a great weekend. See you next week. Goodbye.
See you next week. Bye.